Okay, welcome to those who are new. I always look forward to the learning that we get to do together. And today's a very special day. First of all, it's the week of Parshas Bo. Jewish people are almost out of Mitzrayim. And I want to try to understand what it means to get out of Mitzrayim while we're still in Mitzrayim, before we actually get out in next week's Parsha. But today happens to also be the art site of the Sfas Emes, the Ger Rebbe. The second Ger Rebbe was an unbelievable tzaddik. To understand what the scene must have been like, you can only imagine. Maybe some of us had the opportunity to travel to some of the centers of Jewry that once were, once upon a time. I myself had the privilege one time to stand in the Beis Medrash of the Sfas Emes in Poland. And I want to just share with you a few insights from the Sfas Emes in his chus, on his yard site, to tap into the world of that tzaddik, that great tzaddik, whose Beis Medrash and Chassidus in pre-war Europe was an unbelievable thing. I want to begin in source number one with a kvittel, a note, a letter that was written to the son of the Sfas Emes, the Imre Emes. Just so we get a little taste of how a chassid of the Sfas Emes must have felt about his Rebbe. And he writes as follows. Again, this is a letter that was written to the son of the Sfas Emes, the Imre Emes, the third Ger Rebbe. He writes, this chassid writes about the Sfas Emes, Ha'isi Meshamish B'Kodesh Shlosha Kedoshim Ha'ela. I had the opportunity in my life to be Meshamish, to spend time with three very great tzaddikim. Dem Kotzker, Dem Chidushe Arim, und Dem Rebin, Rav Henoch von Alexander Zatzal. Who are the three that I had the opportunity to be in the presence of? I was with the Kotzker Rebbe. I was with the Chidushe Arim, the grandfather of the Sfas Emes, the first Ger Rebbe. I was with the Rebbe Rav Henoch of Alexander, who many Chassidim went to after the Chidushe Arim passed away, before the Sfas Emes became a Rebbe. He was very young at the time. And people pressured him to become Rebbe, and took him a few years till he was willing to accept. I mean, you had older Jews who wanted this young man to become the Rebbe. And eventually Sfas Emes did for 35 years, from 1870 to 1905. But for a couple of years, after the Chidushe Arim, his grandfather passed away, many were by the Rebbe of Alexander. So this Jew says, I was zochet to learn and to interact with the Kotzker Rebbe. I was zochet to interact, he's writing to the Imre Emes, with your great-grandfather, with the Chidushe Arim. I was zochet to be with the Rebbe of Henoch of Alexander, and they were all great people. But he writes poetically in the second line, Kol Hashirim Kodesh V'Shir Hashirim Kodesh Kadosh. As Chazal say, all the songs of the Torah, of Tanakh, are holy. V'Shir Hashirim is Kodesh Kadosh. It's the holiest of the holy. He says, I met a lot of great tzaddikim, but there was no one who I interacted with, he writes, like the Sfas Emes. He was Kodesh Kadosh. Hunihu Aviv Maran HaKodesh, your father, the Sfas Emes, Zuchusu Yagen Aleinu, V'Al Kol Yisrael Amen. Hu Asher Hayim Meir Mitorasso V'Kedushasso Al Kol Pnei Sevel Mikseyu V'Ad Katseyu. When the Sfas Emes was in his prime, in his dynasty, as Rebbe, his Torah, his sanctity, echoed across the entire sphere of the world. Mikatseyu V'Ad Katseyu, from one end to the other end. V'Al Lav Amru Chazal, and about such a Jew, it was said, there is one amongst us who is worthy of Shechina, of revelation like Moshe Rabbeinu, El She'ein Doro Roy Lekach. And the only reason he wasn't on the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu is because the generation held him back. That was the esteem that this chassid had for his Rebbe, the Sfas Emes. And he goes on and he says, my Rebbe was like Moshe Rabbeinu in the sense that Moshe Rabbeinu was so concerned for every single Jew. The Sfas Emes, tens of thousands of people, he was concerned, he cared, and provided to the best of his ability for every single one. And now he writes in the last four lines, more than 100 times I had the opportunity to visit the Sfas Emes in those 35 years. Much Torah I learned from him. That which I understood very well. He explained so clearly, so beautifully. But at the same time, that which I didn't understand, Uma shelo hevanti, lo dai shelo yirati lisov daito, ela af atchilas daito lo amati. Not only did I not understand the end of his words, not like I understood most of it, but I was missing a little bit. But when the Sfas Emes was giving over his deepest Torah, I didn't even begin to understand. And what he's trying to paint is a picture of a Rebbe who on the one hand was so real, was so tangible, was someone who could be so understood and interacted with, and at the same time was Kodesh Kadoshim, was so aloof, was so beyond, the same way that Moshe Rabbeinu was so connected to Klal Yisrael, and at the same time Klal Yisrael couldn't even look at him because of his holy glow. Concludes this chassid in the last two lines where it's bolded. Ki kol ma shahayu lo einayim liros v'leiv lahavin. Anyone who had eyes to see and a heart to understand, hayeroa bein sichlo, understood with their mind's eye. Ki ashchina midaberes mitoch grono shel oso tzaddik. That the shchina was coming out of the mouth of that tzaddik. Most of us have probably never felt something like this. Maybe we think it's very poetic. It's very flowery, maybe a bit exaggerated, but that's only because we've never had the opportunity with our eyes to see such people. And again, I just want to paint a picture of the Sfas Emes before we learn a little bit of his writings. How one chassid felt. This was a Jew on par in our generation, in more recent times. Again, Sfas Emes passed away in 1905, but in our time, so to speak, on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu, whose words were mamish, like the Shechina coming out of his mouth, like God speaking through his body. Such a Jew. So with that, let's learn a piece of the Sfas Emes. Now again, the Sfas Emes' style is very terse. It was written very shorthand, takes a little bit of deciphering. But the Sfas Emes reveals to us a secret in his writings of Parshas Vayechi to explain a Rashi that I'm sure most of us are familiar with. Rashi says that Yaakov Avinu gathers together his sons, going back to Parshas Vayechi. Yaakov gathers together his children. It's the end of his life. Time is winding down. And Yaakov Avinu wants to reveal when Mashiach is coming. Bikesh Yaakov legalus esaketz. Yaakov wanted to reveal the end of days. V'nistam mimenu, says Rashi. And it was concealed from him. So Sfas Emes is curious. What does that mean, Yaakov wants to reveal when Mashiach is coming? So Yaakov gathered together the Shvatim. And he says to them, oh, I just want to let you know that in Tavshin Ayin Zayin, Mashiach is going to come. How does that help them? What does it mean Yaakov wanted to reveal the Geula? He wanted to reveal the redemption to his children. And why was it taken away from him? Explains the Sfas Emes in source number 2. He quotes from his grandfather, the Chiddush Arim, and he expounds upon it. Adoni Avi Zakeini, Mori V'Rabi Zatzal. Higid Vayehi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. The Pasuk doesn't say Vayehi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. It says Vayehi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. It doesn't just say that Yaakov happens to have been, he was in Mitzrayim. It says Vayehi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim. Explains the Chiddush Arim, what does that mean? It means that Yaakov lived life to its fullest in Mitzrayim. That's pretty hard to do. It's hard to imagine that in such a place, the most difficult gullus of our history, arguably, was the place that Yaakov felt most alive. Explains the Chiddush Arim, ki al yedei bechinas emes yecholin lechayos gam be'eretz Mitzrayim. A person who's connected to emes, the truth, is able to live even in Mitzrayim. And we know that the Mida of Yaakov Avinu, the character trait of Yaakov Avinu, titein emes li Yaakov. Yaakov was an ish emes, a person of absolute truth. And a person who's true, a person who's real, can find chiyus, can find, not just be alive, but can really be living, even in a place called Mitzrayim. Explains the Sfas Emes, expounding again on his grandfather's words, Dihinei, lo havi li lamei merak vayihi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim. The Pasuk could have simply said, Yaakov was in Mitzrayim. But the Pasuk doesn't say Vayehi. The Pasuk says Vayechi. Umashma de'ikar harabusa masha hayu v'bechinas chayim gam be'eretz Mitzrayim. What does that mean? Yaakov was alive in Mitzrayim? Perish? Chayim hu dveikus b'shorish u'makor. Shemisham nimshach tamid chiyas. Yaakov was completely in a place of complete spiritual disconnect. Yaakov somehow found a way to be completely connected. It was a hot spot for Shechina in Mitzrayim. He found a place where he was always online. He was always connected. He was always connected. He didn't have, you know, bad service in Mitzrayim. Everyone else is falling apart. Everyone else is completely disconnected. Klal Yisrael is almost unidentifiable to themselves and to the relationship with God. And somehow Yaakov Avinu, Vayechi Yaakov Eretz Mitzrayim, filled with chiyus, filled with energy, filled with life. How could that be? Because Yaakov's midah is emes. And a person who knows the truth is able to be alive wherever he or she finds himself or herself. Explains the Sfas Emes, quoting the Rashi where it's bolted. This is what Rashi means when he says, Bikesh legalus esaketz. Yaakov wanted to reveal the Geula. What does that mean? Yaakov wanted to, again, he wanted to declare that, oh, in the future, Mashiach's going to come. In 2017, Mashiach's going to come. That's what Yaakov wanted to say. That doesn't help the Shvat. Yaakov wanted to reveal the secret of how a person could be living in exile and be totally, totally connected. So why didn't Hashem let him reveal that? Bikes Yaakov Legalis is a Kate Perush, says the Sfasemes, where it's bolded. She rotzel levar zesha golis rak hesta. Yaakov wanted to completely change their perception of reality. Yaakov wanted to show them that it looks like you're going through a really tough time, but it's all a joke. Hashem is there. Learn how to see past it. Learn how to see through it. Learn how not to be bothered at all by Gullus. To be in a state of Geula, to be in a redeemed state, when you're still trapped in Mitzrayim. That's what Yaakov wanted to reveal. V'akoach ha'pnimi, hu rak mi Hashem Yisbarach. And that while the outer trappings is the exile of Egypt, on the inside it's just God. It's a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He's there every step of the way. Yaakov wanted to reveal that secret. Rakim ha'yenigla zeh lo haya Gullus klal v'nistam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Yaakov, you know, if I allow you to reveal that, then it's not really a gullus. If you give away the secret, then it's not really going to be an exile. An exile has a purpose. What was Hashem doing? Why did Hashem take it away from Yaakov? Hashem wants every single Jew, in our own way, to discover what Yaakov discovered. There's no shortcuts. Yaakov can't teach it to us. Yaakov can't give us the trick, so to speak, to be completely above gullus. To be in a redeemed state. You have to learn that on your own. We can't take any shortcuts. But at the same time, even though Yaakov was blocked from revealing the secret of teaching his children in the clearest way how to live this way, in a certain sense, Yaakov taught it through his actions. Through the way that Yaakov lived his life, if we're paying attention to the way that Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim, maybe we can find out what the secret is. Again, Yaakov wasn't allowed to openly share the secret. But maybe if we pay close attention to how Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim, maybe we could figure out the secret. What was Yaakov's life like in Mitzrayim, those last 17 years of his life, compared to the first 130 years of his life? How does Yaakov himself describe the first 130 years of his life? He stands before Paro and he says, my 130 years have been ma'at v'ra'im. They've been few and difficult. I've had a tough life. The last 17 years that Yaakov spends in Egypt are the best years of his life. He retires, he sits and learns. The Midrashim described, those were the greatest years of Yaakov's life. The most productive years. Gullus Mitzrayim, as Klal Yisrael are entering into that period of enslavement, and Yaakov is retiring, and Yaakov is sitting back, and Yaakov is able to just finally enjoy life after all the struggles, after all of the Esav in his life, and the Lavan in his life, and the Yosef in his life, and what happened to Dinah in his life. After all that, now Yaakov retires in Mitzrayim, and he sits back and he enjoys, and that's what the Midrash says. Medrash says in source number 3, let's read where it's bolded. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yaakov Avinu the best years in Mitzrayim. Yaakov lived 147 years. 130, he says, ma'at v'ra'im. Weren't so good. The last 17 years, those were the good years. That's what I'm saying. The Gematria of 17 is Tov. Yaakov's last 17 years, those were the good years. Those are the good years of Yaakov's life. Says the Medrash in Tana de Be'al Yo. Nasan lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shavas Reishana Samoth Lizignuso Tova. 17 years, those were really, really good years for Yaakov. Mikan Amru. From here we learn. Kol She'asigaso Shana Achas Tova Samoth Lizignuso Simin Yafala. If your life ends on a good note, that's a good sign. If even one year, if the last year of your life is a great year, that's Hashem's way of saying your whole life was good. V'chol. Now again, let's be careful with this Maimar Chazal. But this is what it says. V'chol she'asigaso shana achas ra samach l'zeknuso. A person who has a really bad year at the end. If at the end of your life, you're not able to feel like things ended at least on a positive note, but even the end was broken. So that's a siman ralo. It's a bad sign. Yaakov Avinu haya betova shva sveshana. Yaakov not only had one good year at the end, he had 17 good years at the end. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu looked at Yaakov's life as if his whole life is good. That looking back from those 17 great years of really living it up in Mitzrayim, it gave perspective on Yaakov's whole life. His whole life actually was pretty good. Looking back, you know what? The whole thing is good, says Hashem. What's the secret? How did he do that? How did Yaakov experience chiyus, real living, in Mitzrayim again when everyone else is falling apart? So the answer is, and this is really only part one of our answer. It's the less important. I don't want to say less important, because they're equally important. But this is not the main thing I wanted to teach you today, but it's very important. And the fact that so many of you are taking your time to come learn Torah right now shows me that you already know the secret. The secret to having a meaningful life is learning Torah. If you don't learn Torah, if you're not connected to Torah, if you're not following the manual that God gave us to navigate this world, then you could have a really good environment and it's going to be broken. Now, that doesn't mean that every person who doesn't have Torah has such a miserable life. You see a lot of people who don't learn Torah and have very pleasant lives, and they're very happy with their lives. So we have to explain, we have to understand what that means. But the secret of Yaakov's life, the success of Yaakov in Mitzrayim, is very much connected to the fact that Yaakov is the embodiment of Torah. Titein emes li Yaakov, like the Sfas Emes told us, Yaakov's mida is emes, and there is no word that describes Torah better than perhaps the word emes, truth. There's no word that describes God better than emes. There's a Gemara that says that, in a certain sense, the most accurate descriptive word for God Himself is emes, truth. That's the best description. In a certain sense, it's the best description that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yaakov, we know, is the Yaakov Ish Tam Yoshev Olim. Yaakov, of all the Avos, is the one who learned the most Torah. He was the one who was the paradigmatic Torah scholar, who sat in tents, Yoshev Olim. So go back to the beginning of the Medrash in source number 3, look what he writes. Says the Medrash, "Bivdei ma zocha Yaakov inu l'chayim shalo b'tzar, v'shalo b'yetzahar b'olam haza, b'masha osir litein l'tzadikim l'asid lavo." How did Yaakov tap into Olam Haba in this world? And let's make the question even deeper. How did Yaakov tap into Olam Haba in Mitzrayim, the worst of this world? How is he living a life that was so full of life, without pain, without Yetzer Hara? How did he achieve that? In what merit did he achieve that? Where did he get the perspective? What was the secret he wanted to reveal to his children? Says the Medrash in the second line, "Mipnei Shahaya Babes HaMedrash Mikat Nuso V'Adzik Nuso." It was Yaakov's unwavering commitment to Torah that gave him perspective. Now again, Yaakov himself complained and said, "My life has been difficult, not through it." So again, we have to try to figure out exactly how that works. It wasn't like Yaakov's life was so simple, even with all the Torah that he learned. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Yaakov, when it's all said and done, the end of your life is going to be in the most difficult environment, and looking back, all the perspective that you've gained from all of your struggles and all of your difficulties, but your commitment to Torah has earned you the right to sit in Mitzrayim and to be completely above Mitzrayim. Because you found yourself connected to Torah, mikat nuso v'adzik nuso. From the time you were a young person till old age, you always study Torah. And when a person has Torah, you can be above Mitzrayim. You have perspective. Torah is endless. You'll say, "What do you mean Torah is endless? There's less than 6,000 psukim." But we know how much has been written about those 6,000 psukim. How much has been written about the 2,711 pages of Gemara. The Torah, it's endless. It's endless. It's an endless reboy of Torah, an expansion of Torah. Commentaries upon commentaries upon commentaries, expounding deeper and deeper and deeper. New ideas in Torah being formulated. Torah is completely endless. You can spend your whole life learning Torah and you can still feel it's a drop in the bucket. But that's the beauty of Torah. That's what's so unbelievable about Torah. Torah allows a person to have an expanded consciousness. We just had in this past week's parasha that Klal Yisrael find themselves in a very small-minded state. Moshe Rabbeinu comes and says, "I want to take you out of Egypt." And they can't even hear it. They can't even process the words. Why are their minds so closed? Why can't they hear? They've lost all hope. They can't dream. They can't hope for redemption. It's all lost. Says the Arachayim HaKadosh in source number 4. The Torah tells us they weren't able to hear Moshe Rabbeinu mikotzer ruach umeavoda kashem, from the difficult labor, and the kotzer ruach, from the smallness of breath, or the limited spirit. Maybe a different way to translate it. What does that mean? Why were they so narrow-minded? Why were they so narrow-minded? It's funny. People sometimes think, you know, people who learn Torah become narrow-minded. It's not true. If you really understand Torah, Torah gives you the most perspective. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, you know why the Jews in Mitzrayim were so stuck in Mitzrayim? You know why they were so stuck in their own minds? You know why a Savior, a holy person, comes to breathe new hope into their life experience, and they're like, "Nah, we're not hearing that. In fact, Moshe, you're just making things worse," as they complained at the end of Shemos. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh in source number 4, Mikotzer Ruach, Ulai, Ki Lisad Shelo Hayu B'nei Torah Lo Shamu. It was because they did not have Torah. They couldn't hear. They didn't have perspective. V'lezeh yikra kotzer ruach. Their spirit was limited. Ki ha-Torah, look at these beautiful words. Ki ha-Torah miracheves libo shel adam. Because Torah expands a person's consciousness. Torah allows a person to see things in a broad way. Now again, sometimes a person studies Torah and you think it's so limited, the system of Torah. But again, when a person really understands the Torah, when you really understand that the Torah is Hashem's expression in this world, and Hashem is endless, so you're tapping into the infinite. You're broadening your perspective. The Jews in Mitzrayim didn't have the Torah yet. So they're so stuck. They're stuck in their Dalet Amos. But Yaakov Avinu, who was a person of Torah, could sit in Mitzrayim, could sit within Mitzrayim, Lashon of Meitzar, of borders, of boundaries, in a place where everyone else felt trapped. Yaakov felt, this is a Nachala B'li Meitzar. I feel, I have everything in front of me. These are great years. These are good years. And he wanted to convey that perspective to Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael blame Moshe Rabbeinu, they scream at Moshe Rabbeinu, and they say that you've made things worse for us. It's very interesting. I'd like to try to go a step further with this Or HaChaim HaKadosh. Because if you look in the writings of Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in source number 5 in the Emes LeYaakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky says a very interesting thing. A historical note that's very fascinating. He says, he explains, that the Jewish people, based on Midrashim, the Jewish people in Mitzrayim originally used to have off every Shabbos. Once Moshe came and started causing trouble, power got angry and took away their Shabbos. What did they do when they were off on Shabbos? What would they do? How did they spend Shabbos when they got that little break on Shabbos? Now, nowadays, well, you can think about what we do on Shabbos. What do? Did they go to shul on Shabbos? Did they hear Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos? There wasn't a Torah yet. What do they do on Shabbos? Play board games on Shabbos? What do they do on Shabbos? How do they spend Shabbos? So it's interesting. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, again, based on Midrashim, says that they would sit, they had these scrolls. Scrolls that had been passed down to them. Scrolls that had been given them from Moshe Rabbeinu with teachings on them, with writings on them. You know what was written on these scrolls, according to some Midrashim? Eov. The story of Eov. According to one opinion in the Gemara, Eov was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Which means Moshe gave them scrolls that taught them how to grapple with the concept of Tzadik V'Ralo. The basic philosophical question of Sefer Eov, why do righteous people suffer? So they read those scrolls. Medrash says they had Mizmori Tehillim, they had sections of Tehillim. Now again, how does that work? I thought David wrote all of Tehillim, then you start reading some Maimari Chazal that say actually other people wrote Tehillim, Adam Rishon wrote parts of Tehillim, Moshe maybe wrote parts of Tehillim, different people wrote different parts of Tehillim. And they had parts of Tehillim. So the Jews sat in Mitzrayim, and they're saying Tehillim, and they're grappling with the philosophical approaches to suffering. But all of a sudden, things got worse in Mitzrayim. Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to get them out of Mitzrayim now, and Paro is getting angry, and Paro is not giving them a chance to sit on Shabbos, and to get Nechama, says Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, by reading those scrolls, which give them perspective. And says Rav Yaakov, V'lo shavu el Moshe mikotzer ruach me'avod hakasha. And now, all of a sudden, their perspective got even more narrow. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh says they already had a narrow perspective, because they didn't have the Torah as we have the Torah. But can you imagine? Those scrolls that were passed down to them throughout the generations, those perspectives of hope from earlier generations, from the family of Yaakov, now they didn't have time to study that. Can you imagine how narrow their perspective had become? And again, amidst all of this, Yaakov Avinu is sitting and learning Torah. Yaakov Avinu is the one who's teaching Klal Yisrael. Again, Yaakov's no longer alive by this point. But Yaakov was sitting in the same place that these Jews were sitting, with their small-mindedness, losing perspective, and Yaakov's trying to teach them the secret, if you have Torah, you'll be fine. If you have Torah, you'll be able to get through any difficulty. The Divrei Chaim of Sons, one of the great Rebbes, the Divrei Chaim of Sons, his daughter, who was married to the Rebbe of Hornsteipel, came to visit him once. Came to Poland to visit. She lived in Russia. She came with her husband. She was visiting her father. And when she was leaving, when she was going back to Russia, she said to her father, the Divrei Chaim, of Chaim Halberstam, Zchusi Yagen Aleinu, she said to her father, you know, I'm going back to Russia now. The Russian government is so bad. They're so evil. Their decrees against humanity, all the more so against Jews, are so difficult. It's even worse than Mitzrayim. It's even worse than Mitzrayim in Russia. That's what she said to her father. She was heading back. She was leaving the court of her father, the Tzaddik, the Divrei Chaim, leaving from Poland back to Russia, and she said, in Russia, it's harder to live than even in Mitzrayim. And the Divrei Chaim stopped right away and said, it's not true. You can't say that. In Mitzrayim, they didn't have the Torah. You have the Torah. You have the Torah. Which means you have the choice to have harchavas libo shel adam. Like the Or HaChaim told us, ki haTorah miracheves libo shel adam. You have the opportunity to expand your soul. the most difficult pasuk in all of Chumash, the most painful pasuk in all of Chumash, according to Rashi in Yeshaya. Rashi has a very scary comment in the Navi Yeshaya. Rashi writes over there that the most painful pasuk in Chumash is, the scariest pasuk in Chumash is, Va'anochi haster astir panai, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicts that at the end of time He's going to hide His face from us. There are times when a Jew feels that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding. We look at our world today and there's plenty of times we can point to in our own lives and certainly in recent world history where we said, where was God? Rabbanu Shalom, where are you? We shouldn't be so surprised. Hashem predicted this is how it's going to be. Anochi haster astir panai. What does the Torah tell us right after that? What mitzvah is given to us right after Hashem says He's going to hide His face? The Chafetz Chaim says it's not by chance. In source number 6, the Chafetz Chaim writes in Parshas Vayelech, it's not by chance. Va'ata kisvu lachem es ashira hazos. The mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Explains the Chafetz Chaim. Zos hi ha mitzvah achrona sheba Torah. Lichtov es ha Torah. This is the last mitzvah of the Torah, to write a Sefer Torah. Uva hatzivoy, where it's bolded, ala mitzvah lezu, achrei ha-pasuk, shel v'anochi haster astir panai b'yom ahu. After Hashem informs us that there's going to be some dark periods, there's going to be Mitzrayim that takes place outside of Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to give you a trick. I'm going to give you some advice. In fact, I'm making a mitzvah even, to make it easier for you. If you want to survive, here's what you need to do. You need to write for yourself a Sefer Torah. Lilamdeinu, sha'atorah azos yeshbach kocha lahagin ulahatzil mikol tzar v'yagon. Write a Sefer Torah. When you're feeling you're in Hester Panim, write a Sefer Torah. Write a Sefer Torah doesn't mean they have to sit down and actually write a Sefer Torah. It also means that. It's a question if women actually have a chiyuv in that mitzvah. If you have an obligation to hire a scribe to write a Sefer Torah. Many Rishonim say nowadays we fulfill the mitzvah by buying Jewish books. We fill our home with Jewish books. That's another fulfillment of this mitzvah. Right? But however it works in halacha, in machshava, write a Sefer Torah means write a Sefer Torah. Find your chelik in Torah. Find your connection to Torah. You're feeling like your world is collapsing. You're feeling trapped. You're feeling burdened by life itself. Sing the sweet words of the Torah. Write for yourself a Sefer Torah. Reconnect yourself to Lima Torah, to studying Torah. Again, this is what we're doing right now. So Baruch Hashem, we get it. We understand that we need to make the time for it. Even though it's hard sometimes in our busy schedules. But if I don't have Torah, I'm going to lose perspective. I'm going to end up mikotzer ruach. Me'avod ha-kosh, I'm going to be broken. I'm going to be broken by the difficulties of life. So therefore, kisvu lachem es ashira hazos. Write for yourself a Sefer Torah. We know that one of our greatest enemies in all time, of all time, was Bilam HaRasha. We think of Bilam HaRasha. Bilam's far away. Why are we talking about Bilam? We're not in Sefer Bamidbar yet. But the Gemara tells us that Bilam was actually the advisor of Paro, who more than anyone else decided to destroy and kill the Jews. The Gemara says in source number 7 that Paro had 3 advisors. Bilam, Eov, and Yisro. Bilam, Eov, and Yisro. Bilam was asked by Paro, what should I do with these Jews? And Bilam said, kill them. Eov remained silent. Eov says, I'm not getting involved. And because of that, he suffered. Sometimes standing by when people are being taken advantage of, if you don't raise your voice, you're also guilty. So we learned from Eov's failed response. And Yisro ran away. Yisro said, I'm not getting involved in any of this. He ran away from Paro. He said, I'm not assisting you in any way. I want nothing to do with this. And because of Yisro, that was taking a stand. To run away from Paro as his advisor was taking a stand. And because of that, Yisro's descendants were Zocha to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, to sit on the Sanhedrin, the chief rabbinate, so to speak, and the Lishon HaSagazis in the Beis HaMikdash. So Bilam was the one who advised Paro to destroy the Jewish people. But Bilam also understood, as much as he hated Klal Yisrael, as much as he wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael, our enemies sometimes are able to know things and help us to understand things about ourselves. Bilam wanted so badly to curse the Jewish people, as we encounter Bilam in Parshas Balak. But Hashem blocks Bilam from cursing Klal Yisrael. And in fact, he turns his curses into a bracha. Now the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that even though Bilam was forced to bless the Jewish people, all of his blessings eventually reverted to curses with the exception of one. There was one thing that Bilam said about the Jewish people, a praise of the Jewish people, that even Bilam, with all his wickedness, couldn't overturn. What was that? Take a look at source number 8. I'll introduce you to a very interesting Sefer. Niflaos Chadashos. The Sefer Niflaos Chadashos was written by Rav Noach Mindis. Rav Noach Mindis was a mechutin of the Vilna Gaon. He's buried alongside the Vilna Gaon. And he and the Vilna Gaon, they married their children to one another. Very interesting person. Has Sefer brings a lot of very, like it sounds, Niflos Chadashos, wondrous new things. And he brings the following remez, the following hint. Bilam says, Ma ekov lo kavo kel, how could I curse the Jewish people? God doesn't allow me to curse them. Explains of Noach Mindus, lo kavo kel, the last three letters of lo kavo kel, spell out ohel, the tent. Lo kavo kel, God won't allow me to curse. Sofei tevos, ohel. So what? What does that mean? Ramuz lamad di isa, what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. Shekol habrachos nishafchu leklalos. All of Bilam's blessings eventually turned back into curses. Chutz min matovu ohalecha. But there was one blessing that Bilam gave us that will forever remain a blessing for the Jewish people. Ma tovu ohalecha Yaakov. How beautiful are the tents of Yaakov. What are the tents of Yaakov? The tents of Yaakov is this room right now. Are places where people gather to learn Torah. That's the tent of Yaakov. And no Bilam and no power can take that away from us. No matter how wicked their intent is. If you want to live above Bilam, if you want to live above Paro, if you want to live outside of Mitzrayim, outside of the boundaries of Mitzrayim, you need to have a connection to the tent of Torah. And again, the more I'm connected to that, the broader my perspective becomes, and the less bothered I am by all of the small difficulties and the big difficulties that life sometimes sends our way. Okay? But this is all a hakdama to what I really want to teach you today. What I really want to share with you today is a different secret about living in a redeemed way when you're still in Mitzrayim. There's no question Yaakov is giving us a big secret. Whatever Mitzrayim you find yourself in, make sure you have Torah and it'll be good. It'll be fine. It'll be more than fine. It'll be good. But I want to show you a second perspective. A second way to live in Mitzrayim when you're really in Mitzrayim. When you're really in Mitzrayim. See, when you learn Torah in Mitzrayim, you lift yourself up and out of Mitzrayim. You enter into spiritual realms that disconnect you from whatever's holding you back. But now I want to teach you how to be alive in Mitzrayim. Not to escape Mitzrayim using this trick of learning Torah. To be bigger than Mitzrayim. That's an escape from Mitzrayim. That's an escape from Mitzrayim before Hashem declares it's actually time to go out of Mitzrayim. So Yaakov was in Mitzrayim. Everyone else is suffering. They didn't have the perspective. They're suffering Mitzrayim. Yaakov was able to be in Mitzrayim, to be above Mitzrayim. To be out of Mitzrayim while he's in Mitzrayim. But now I'm going to teach you, I'd like to share with you, how a person can mamash be in Mitzrayim, not escaping in your own way through Torah, escaping into that world of Torah, how to really be in Mitzrayim and also be good, and also be okay. And it's based on something that we find in the Sefer Hayom Yom. The Hayom Yom is a little volume that Lubavitcher Rebbe put together, going through each day of the calendar, and on each day he shares a different teaching, a different idea, something to think about, a short Hasidic teaching to meditate upon. And he quotes the following: Misichos Avi Admor, Yitzias Mitzrayim hi haYitzia miMeitzar Mugvul. What is Yitzias Mitzrayim? What is the concept of Yitzias Mitzrayim beyond the obvious, leaving Egypt? Like, what's the idea of Yitzias Mitzrayim? It's Yitzia miMeitzar Mugvul. It's getting out of whatever is holding you back. A gvul is a border. A meitzar is a boundary. Getting out of whatever is holding you back. Escaping whatever is holding you back. That is Yitzias Mitzrayim. You find yourself in a tough situation. You find a way to get out of that tough situation. That's called Yitzias Mitzrayim. Now look at this line. V'achasidus hi avur ha-yitzia me'ha-meitzar mugvulim shel ha'olam. Chasidus enables a person to be able to get out of Mitzrayim and to get out of the boundaries and borders of the world. But that needs explanation. Look what he writes, second paragraph. Yesh no hefrish. There's two different ways you can get out of Mitzrayim. One is to get out of Mitzrayim, and one is to still be in Mitzrayim, but to also be out of Mitzrayim. Look what he writes. Yitzias Mitzrayim hu inyan shel shvira ve'aziva v'lachein holchum b'Mitzrayim. Regular Yitzias Mitzrayim, the regular way we understand Yitzias Mitzrayim means the shattering of whatever's holding you back. Aziva, to leave it behind. V'lachein, and therefore, the Jewish people, halchu b'Mitzrayim. They physically picked up and left Mitzrayim. And if it was next week, if we're up to B'Shalach, then we should talk about that. But we're still in Bo. We still have a few makos to wrap up this week. So I want to try to share with you this other way that he's about to describe. When you're not able to flee, when you're not able to run out of the Mitzrayim, Yitzias Mitzrayim shel Chasidus, hu bira v'tikun. Yetzias Mitzrayim, from a Hasidic perspective, the Hasidus of Yetzias Mitzrayim is that a person is able to what? To be mevarer and to be metaken, to fix and to correct the thing itself. Not to have to run away from it, because I don't know how to deal with it. That's one way to deal with it, and that might be a salvation for some people. To run away from the problem. That might actually solve my problem. But there's a deeper way to solve the problem. Which is to what? Is to be mavarer, is to clarify it, is to refine it, and to be metaken it, and to fix it. Yetziyah Mitzrayim begvulam sha'olam, aval besoch ha'olam. To be able to be out, to be living outside of the borders and the boundaries, while you're still within the world. Not running out of the world. Not using Torah to escape Mitzrayim. But to be able to use Torah, and to be able to use the perspective that Chassidus teaches, to be able to what? To be able to be mamish in the world, very much a part of this world, and yet at the same time to be freed from whatever holds people back in this world. Now, look where it's bolded in source number 9. Zos Amaris, that is to say, here's the key line. B'soch ha'olam tzrichem liyos b'yetziyah mimeitzer v'gvul shel ha'olam. That sounds like a contradiction. How can I be in the world and yet not be bound by the world? What does that even mean? I understand the idea of escaping this world. I understand the idea of running out of Mitzrayim. Running away from that place. How does a person live within it and at the same time be outside of it? Is it possible to have those two things in the same place? Well, in this week's parsha, we got a sense of what that means. How about the fact that the Mitzrim are wallowing in the dark, or frozen in the dark at some point? And the Jewish people are basking in the light. How is it possible to have the same environment that for one person is darkness, is so destructive, right? Is so paralyzing, and for another person, they're in that same place, and it's kula or. The Gemara says that olam hazeh, life in this world, is doma lalaila. The Gemara Bava Metzia says this whole world is compared to nighttime. But it's possible, as we learn in this week's parsha, for a Jew to be living in a place that's very dark, for most people. But in our dwelling place, where I find myself, I'm not running away. I'm not trying to escape the place that's dark. That's actually dark. This world is a dark place. But I learn how to be there and to be totally fine. Because for me, it's light. For a Jew and a Mitzri to be drinking out of the same cup, going back to the first of the Makos. A Jew and a Mitzri drinking out of the same cup, like the Mezhar says. For one person it's water, for another person it's blood. It's a question of having that perspective. To realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found within everything. And you don't have to run away from the things of this world to have an encounter with Hashem. You're able to mevarer, to say this is Hashem's world. Hashem can be found within the world. I don't need to escape. I don't need to lift myself above the world. But I can find the HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world. And that was the perspective of Chassid. That is the perspective of Chassidus. And this is a really, really important perspective for a person to have. Sometimes we feel that if I want to reach my religious potential, I have to get away, right, from all of the mundane things of this world. And Chassidus says, no, it's not true. That's one form of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There are people who become very great by fleeing from all of physicality and fleeing from all of the natural reality. And I want to closet myself away. I want to be Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai in my cave for 13 years. Leave me alone. I'll sit, I'll eat carobs, and I'll drink the spring of water that Hashem miraculously made appear to him. And I'll become a holy person. The Kotzker Rebbe spent the last 20 years of his life in seclusion. The Vilna Gaon did not get out very much. And when he did, he would prepare himself for a long time before even stepping out his door. So the Art Tzaddikim will live that way. Right? But most of us don't, A, have the opportunity to live that way. B, we don't choose to necessarily live that way. So we need to learn this approach. How to experience Yetzias Mitzrayim, again, Zos Omeris, where it's bolded. B'soch ha'olam. Tzrichim liyos b'yetziyah mimeitzer g'vul shel olam. To be freed from the world while I'm still within the world. That's a really important perspective for a person to have. As far as I'm saying, when it says Mala Ha'aretz Kinyanecha, the world is filled. Mala Ha'aretz Kinyanecha, how would you translate Mala Ha'aretz Kinyanecha? You can say the world is filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations. The world is filled with the things that you own and create HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Sifrei Chassidus explain Mala Ha'aretz Kinyanecha means that the world is filled with Kinyanecha, ways to acquire you. Ways to interact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So we sometimes have a more immature perspective that God can only be found when I'm, you know, involved in A, B, or C. But not when I'm involved in X, Y, or Z. But that's a shallowness of our understanding. That says I need to escape. I need to run to my safe place in order to have an encounter with God. If I'm davening, if I'm learning, if I'm actively doing a mitzvah of one of the 613, then I'm connected to God. And then I spend much of my time trying to run away from all of the mundane reality that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has burdened us with. And we feel frustrated. So therefore, says Chassidus, learn how to have the perspective to experience that freedom while you're still within it. You choose the perspective. You could choose to feel trapped by the world, or you could choose to what? To be dwelling in the light when everyone else seems to be dwelling in the darkness. That's a question of perspective. It's a question of realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found. Mala aretz kininecha. Hashem is found within everything. I remember I was thinking back a couple of years ago when our daughter Meira, who was now 5, when she was younger and still sleeping in a crib. I remember one of the saddest things. One night, she woke up, she was screaming. And I came into her room, and she was standing as a child would when a child wakes up, calling for mommy or daddy in the crib. And she was standing holding on to, you know, the railing of the crib. But she was facing the wall. I mean, there's the side of the crib where you put the child in, and then there's like the wall that the crib was up against. And somehow she woke up in her confusion, she woke up and instead of grabbing onto the side that opens out to mommy and daddy, she grabs onto the side that faces a wall. And you can only imagine like that fear of like when did they build this wall? Like when did they put up this box? And it was a lack of perspective. You're facing the wrong direction. You don't realize how free you could be. That's what it means to be in this world and to choose not to allow yourself to be trapped. To realize that Avinu Shebaa Shemayim is right there, ready to take you into His arms. Kadosh Baruch Hu is reaching out to you. Malaret kinyanecha. Hashem is found everywhere. We have to just choose to have that perspective. So now we come to the final source. We come back to, again, the Baal Hilula, the one whose yahrzeit is today, the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes, who again that Chassid described as Kodesh Kadoshim, the one who gave him perspective like no one he had ever met before. And we conclude with this unbelievable perspective of the Sfas Emes. We have 5 minutes left. Take a look. Says the Sfas Emes in his writings on Parshas Vayigash, the Arizal wrote a beautiful song that people sing, a tefillah that people recite, Leil Shabbos Kodesh, as they begin the Shabbos meal. Azamer Bishvachin Lameil Go Pischin De Bechakol Tapuch. It's a Kabbalistic tefillah. Azamer Bishvachin. I raise my voice with zmiros of songs of praise. Lameil Go Pischin. To enter into the gates, De Bechakol Tapuchin, of the apple orchard. Again, there's a lot there. But says the Sfas Emes, I want to ask a simple question on this tefillah, the opening line of this tefillah. From the Ariza, from the Ari HaKadosh. Azamer b'shvachin, I want to sing praises to Hashem. Lameil go pischin, to enter the gates of the apple orchard. Says the Sfas Emes, v'kosha mai go pischin. What does it mean to enter the entrance? That's what the words literally mean. Lameil, to go up into the to enter into the entrance. Why don't we just say what we really want? Why don't we say, I want to enter the apple orchard? I want to enter Gan Eden. Lameil go pischin means I want to enter into the doorway. No, you want to enter into the place you're trying to get by way of the door. What does it mean to enter into the enter? To enter into the entrance, to enter into the gate. You want to enter by way of the gate into the place that you're trying to be. Into the garden. Says the Sfas Emes. Aval ha-emes, where it's bolded. Ki chakal tapuchin hu b'chol makom. What does it mean? I want to just get to the door. I want to just find the door. Because if you have the perspective, you find the door, then you realize that there's not one place called chakal tapuchin. There's not one place called Gan Eden. Every place is Gan Eden. Look what he writes. It's beautiful. Dal chakal tapuchin hu b'chol makom. As it says, molo chol haaretz kavodo. The world is filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence. Isn't that interesting? When Yaakov comes in to get the bracha, and Yitzchak, who's trapped in his bed, who's an old person, who's blind, and all of a sudden he says, I feel like I'm in the apple orchard. I feel like I'm in Gan Eden. I smell the scent of Gan Eden. Yaakov is at a very delicate point in his life. He's about to steal the brachos. And his father says to him, no, this could be Gan Eden. Yaakov's nervous. Yitzchak is at the end. And yet he says, this could be the apple orchard. If the right perspective, this could be the apple orchard. Raksha ikar ha'avoda liftoach nekudazos. And therefore, what the Arizal is hinting to, as we come to Shabbos Kodesh, a time and place that gives us perspective, we say, Hashem, help me to find the door. Help me to realize that I can open up into any environment, into any situation. I can unlock that meitzar, that border, that boundary, that gvul that's holding me back. Uveshabbos niftach zeh hashar. On Shabbos, that gate opens up. Jump down to the next bolded section. Ukamo kein yecholin lahavin ki kvod malchusi yisbarachu b'chol makom. Afshe eino nigla. Even though you can't see it sometimes with your physical eyes, you need to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in every environment. V'zeh amunah shel kol ish Yisrael b'Hashem Echad. That's what it means when we say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. That if I can't see it yet, I should at least be able to hear it. I should be able to believe it. That Hashem is Echad, that Hashem is truly found everywhere. And Hashem is not more accessible in one place as opposed to another place. To come to that realization, that bonding, he says, of Emes and Amunah. MS will be when I'm able to see it with my own eyes, like Yaakov saw it in Mitzrayim. No one else could see it. But to have a Muna in it, to believe in it until I'm able to see it. To remind myself, Bayomahu, Yahashem Echad Ushmo Echad. That there's going to be this unbelievable unification. Where I'll come to the realization that Hashem was with me every single step of the way. Ula Asid Yisbar Zeha Achdus, Shiesh Beso Chabriya. And in the end, we'll be Zochet to see such a thing. To have that perspective again where I don't feel I need to run away from the world. I don't feel that I have less opportunity to connect to Hashem in college than I did when I was in seminary. To feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with me every step of the way if I choose to have the right perspective. I want to just end with one quick story. I saw this in the writings of the Tolna Rebbe, Shlita from Eretz Yisrael. His brother put out a little sefer. And he tells the following story. He says there was a Jew who learned in Slobodka, in the yeshiva in Slobodka. The Alter Slobodka, one of the great Bali Musar, the Alter Slobodka built an unbelievable yeshiva. But there was a young man who used to run away on Shabbos from the yeshiva to go have shalashuris with some chassidim, with some slonimer chassidim. And the Alter Slobodka caught on to this. He realized that this Jew was constantly sneaking away. And he said to him, What do you see by the chassidim that you don't see by us? Why do you keep going there for shalashuris? So he said to him the following. He said, Rabbi, I'll tell you. He said to the Alter Slobodka, I'll tell you. He said, you know, the language of Musar always talks about Olam Haba. You read Musar Svarim, it always talks about how eventually, one day, you know, we're going to get rewarded for all of our efforts and everything that we're doing. And it's all about, like, that world beyond. He said, but by the Hasidim, they're always talking about how to experience that now. He said, so Rebbe, for you, you're an older person. You're much closer to that world beyond, but I'm a young man. I'm a young person. And I can't spend my life waiting to get to that place, to finally get to the Chakal Tapuchin, so to speak, to get to that garden. I want to know how I can experience it right here, right now, wherever I find myself right now. And he said, that's what I like about the Hasidim. And that's what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is writing here. The perspective of Hasidus, you see us Mitzrayim, is to realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found within everything. So Mirtz Hashem, you see people need to go. But Mirtz Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us to have these two perspectives. Number one, to learn Torah. To always learn Torah. To be able to lift ourselves above and to escape. The same way Klai Yisrael ran away from Mitzrayim to go to receive the Torah at Har Sinai. But also to have this deeper perspective that Hasidus teaches. To recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be found within each and every bit of reality. And a person who is able to see that is Zochet to free oneself from the Meitzarim, to experience the Nachala B'li Meitzarim, which is everything we long for with the Gula Shlema B'mehira B'Aminu.